Hello, everybody, and welcome to Makini Favelle's Sweet Pete podcast for July 14th, 2017. Today's guest speaker is Nicole Thomas, Vice President of Makini Favelle. Hello, Nicole.
Hello, Michael. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. I'm excited to talk to you about corn and sugar and what the USDA put out on Wednesday of this week. So give us some of your highlight thoughts on both corn and sugar and what impact it might have on the markets.
Well, that's a good question. And I'm not sure many others than us in the food industry get that excited about corn and sugar. But here goes. As far as the corn market is concerned with the WASDE report, reasonably quiet outside of the fact that ending stocks came up a little over 200 million bushels. And that was mostly a result of the change to the planted acreage based off of last month's acreage report. So as it stands today for the upcoming 17-18 year, in the domestic market, we're anticipating ending stocks of a little over 2.3 billion bushels, not very dissimilar from where we sit today with the 16-17 crop. Now, in the case of the sugar report, things were a little more interesting. Most notably, a significant increase to the TRQ expectation for 17-18, now well above 1.5 million short tons raw value. The impact as far as ending stocks and stocks to use ratio is concerned was relatively minor. We currently stand at about 9%. But I think there's some bigger questions at hand, specifically as it relates to the sugar balance sheet and specifically that demand piece.
Absolutely. We've been getting a lot of feedback from people that they're surprised that the USDA's 16-17 demand numbers, as well as the 17-18 demand numbers, with all the talk about sugar reduction and continued talk about that by food manufacturers. How do you explain that?
Well, you bring up a good point, Michael. I think most people are looking at the projected increase to demand for 16-17 and calling that into question. Based off of the number today, that would be a 3.5% increase over 15-16. And as you alluded to, with so much discussion about caloric reduction in products, and obviously the impact on sweetener consumption as a whole, that one's a little interesting for many. And building upon that for the 17-18 market and expectations for deliveries is why we see such a sharply higher number than what we viewed a couple of years ago. Now, interestingly, there may be at least some justification to expectations for slightly higher consumption of sugar, mostly coming from the baking segment and particularly bread products. We've heard quite a bit in the last year or so regarding a shift away from HFCS to sugar, and specifically within the food service segment. McDonald's made an announcement of that sort. It's been a long time coming for Panera Bread, but that would be another example. So there is some support for greater sugar usage, specifically from that segment. However, I think many would still question a number as high as 12.5, almost 12.6 million short tons raw value. And maybe that's inflated by a couple of 100,000 short tons.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that a lot of people are talking about. The other thing that the July WASDE is pretty significant on the sugar side is for Mexico, where you start looking at setting the numbers for Mexico going into the next crop year and what they can import in the United States. And so obviously, you know, you had talked about the 9% stocks to use ratio. The USDA has long said that they target a 13.5% stocks use ratio. So that's going to be interesting as we move forward the next few months and what adjustments the USDA might make.
Exactly.
Let's shift over to corn. The big question here, obviously, it's summertime and a lot of attention towards the crop progress. And the big question is, where do futures go?
And that is a very good question. Now, we've seen a little bit of volatility in the futures market over the last few weeks, most of that being driven by weather markets. This is totally normal market behavior for this time of year. What's a little different is the extremely bearish situation that we've encountered with the corn market for the 16-17 year and potentially for the 17-18 year as well. My take on the futures movement, I think we're looking at sort of the final hurrah in terms of a market rally. Some concerns about weather and the impact of that on the crop development. And we're rounding the corner into the pollination season for that crop. And we had a bit of replanting, so some of that's coming in a little late. But all in all, looking at the weather, it doesn't seem that anything is too tremendously dire at this moment. There are some dry spots, the Dakotas in particular, as well as the plains. But in the case of the plains, much of that acreage is irrigated anyway. So all in all, I think the futures market is putting in its last sort of bullish rally prior to some substantive crop reports, actual crop tour reports coming out in the next couple of weeks. Okay. And as long as those reports are reasonably favorable, in spite of what the crop progress reports may be suggesting today, I think we'll still see a significant amount of pressure on the futures market coming in late July into early August after our peak. I'll go ahead and risk throwing my thoughts out there a little early, but I do believe before it's all said and done, we could see December 17 corn futures tick back down to, let's call it 335 to 345 a bushel.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Nicole. Great recap as always. And thank you all of to all of our listeners. Remember to check out our website at McKinneyFavel.com and follow us on LinkedIn, where we're posting the latest news and updates in the industry. Also, remember, our mission is to empower our clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Until next month, take care.